This is the beginning of a one sentence, part two. During this holiday season, we'll be discussing the section of Srimad Bhagavatam that starts from Canto 7, Chapter 5, and goes through the beginning part of Chapter 10 of Canto 7, the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Last year, this time, we just took one chapter and spent the whole time with one chapter, Chapter 9, Prayers of Prahlad. But the prayers of Prahlad, as wonderful as they are, it's incomplete in one sense without the teachings of Prahlad. And there's several important sections. You'll notice, those of you that are familiar with Prabhupada's lectures and writings, very often quoted verses, so we'll spend more time on those verses, but many times when you hear a section or another section or another section, what's the big picture? How does the whole flow fit together? The flow of the prayers and the whole story. So part of the intention of doing this larger overview is that. I'm just describing intention right now. A purpose. Give the whole picture of how the flow goes. And focus on certain points within Prahlad's teachings. Focus on certain points within Prahlad's teachings and try to appreciate the mood. Of Prahlad Maharaj. I'll mention this now. It comes in Chapter 10, towards the end of this whole section. Madhvacharya quotes, in relation to that section of Srimad Bhagavatam, he quotes Skanda Purana, where essentially the Skanda Purana section says, of the 12 Mahajans, it's not only Srimad Bhagavatam that recognizes 12 Mahajans, but Skanda Purana also. Prahlad is the best. Now that's quite a title or an appreciation. And he's teaching the ways of pure devotional service. So we'll learn a lot by hearing his teachings. Just by hearing the pastimes and hearing the teachings, it's consciousness purifying. Just like kirtan and japa and deity worship, it's purifying. So that's what we'll be doing together. So this evening, as we started last Thanksgiving, we'll just quickly cover, well, one session covering the life of Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj, of course, naturally fits together with Lord Nrisingadev. And Lord Nrisingadev appeared to protect Prahlad from Hiranyakashipu. So that's where we're going to begin. Oops. The slides are not moving. Help. The slide is not moving. Uh, That's a problem. There we go. Okay. Here you see really nice painting of the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras are the first sons of Brahma. So although they look really young, Kumaras, they're the eldest next to Lord Brahma. They were situated in Brahman realization. They had the power as well as the curiosity and the innocence to travel anywhere where they wanted, including up to Vaikuntha. So one time when they were, when they were trying to enter the seventh gate of Vaikuntha, Jai and Vijay were at the gate, and they looked them like small little naked children, only 5 or 6 years old. And when they saw them looking like this, they forbade them to enter. And when they were forbidden to enter, they uttered this curse. We all know the story, but this is Srila Prabhupada's gloss or summary of this pastime. Being agitated by the material qualities of passion and ignorance, you're unfit to live at the shelter of Madhudvisha's lotus feet, which are free from such modes. Those of you that attended this seminar last year, you remember we saw this 2 or 3 times. Madhu, Dvisha. Dvisha, its root is Dvesha. Dvesha means anger, and the Lord has the pure quality of anger, free from the modes of passion and ignorance. Pure anger. Untainted by ignorance and passion modes. So there, that's the Lord. Within him is everything. And the four Kumaras are seeing Jai and Vijay are tainted by ignorance and passion. And thus, they're not qualified to be in Vaikuntha. Better that they go take their birth in the material world in the family of Asuras. That's their curse. And here's another illustration of the four Kumaras coming to the seventh gate of Vaikuntha, and this little confrontation with Jai and Vijay, not allowing them to enter. So they were cursed to become demons, and 3 times, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, in Satyug, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, in Tretayug, Shishupal and Dantavakra, at the end of Dwarpa Yug. Nice painting of the four Kumaras, appreciating the Lord's association, particularly his adorable lotus feet. And there's other ISKCON paintings showing they're entering beyond the gates of Vaikuntha into Vaikuntha, associating with Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. Here's that another illustration of there's Lord Narayana to our left, and Jai and Vijay, who are bowing, and the four Kumaras next to them, because he came to the gate and there was this exchange where he accepted the curse. Now, and they descend down to the material world. It's a detail that I came across since last year, and that is, there's a description from third canto Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 16, verse 29, where the curse of Jayan Vijay are spoken by the Kumaras. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, the conclusion of it is, they did not descend, but their expansion descended, and they stayed and continued to serve in Vaikuntha. Because his commentary says, when they were cursed, they began to cry. And the Lord didn't want to see them cry and said, so you don't have to go, you can stay. But then he said, but it's my word that I uphold the word of my devotee, and the brahmanas have given their curse, so you must go. So go in your expansion and you stay here and continue to serve. And then he gives as confirmation of this conclusion a very interesting confirmation. During a battle with Bami Maharaj and agents of Lord Vishnu, the long list of the agents or associates of Lord Vishnu includes Garuda and others, Nanda, Sunanda, Jai Vijay, Prabala, Bala, Kumuda, Vishvaksena, Pushpadanta, and so forth. This is Canto 8, Chapter 21. So they were doing battle with Bali Maharaj and the demons. So his Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's conclusion is, in this narration, Jayan Vijay are mentioned among the associates of the Lord fighting. So they're of the spiritual world. But after being born as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they would later be born as Ravana and Kumbhakarna. The explanation of their expansions must be given in order to resolve the contradiction of being simultaneously in the form of demons and associates of the Lord. Interesting. Very interesting. Just side points, not like the essence of our story of Jayan Vijay falling. There's other explanations as well. They fell. When the two first births, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, took place, the Bhagavatam describes the whole earth shook because they became terribly demoniac. And the younger brother, Hiranyaksha, was serving his older brother by taking gold from wherever he could find it and bringing it to where his elder brother was to serve him. But by so doing, the whole earth planet fell out of orbit. It became imbalanced and fell out of orbit and went to the bottom of the Garbhadak ocean. And the demigods went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma considered what to do, and as he was contemplating what to do, Bhagavatam describes a size of the upper portion of a thumb came from his nose, the size of a form of a boar that grew and grew and grew, and eventually, as Brahma was watching, this boar became gigantic and rising into the sky, like a great elephant. And then this Lord Varaha plunged with his hooves first into the bottom of the Garbhodak ocean to rescue the earth. Hiranyaksha was disturbed because that was his territory. And so a big fight began between the two. And here's a nice ISKCON painting of that battle. And eventually, Lord Varaha, of course, finished Hiranyaksha. And when news of that occurred, Hiranyakashipu became very, very angry. Here he's continuing his work of rescuing the earth planet. The funeral of Hiranyaksha is described. Hiranyakashipu was the principal speaker. He spoke transcendental knowledge, and then he spoke something very harsh. He took a vow that as that Lord Vishnu has killed my brother, I will kill Lord Vishnu, seeking revenge. And he was powerful. Said when he came to know that his brother was dead, his anger caused the whole sky to become smoky. So, after some time, he had this great intention to become immortal. So he went to deep into the forest and within a mountain range, engaging in austerity, very severe austerities for a long time. There you see fire coming from his head and becoming so powerful. The whole universe was trembling. And so Lord Brahma later came, and from his kamandalu he removed the anthill that had covered his body because he was there. Long narration. He was a mystic, and he knew how to preserve his life by circulating his life air within the hollow of his bones. So that's how he sustained his life. There's an image of Lord Brahma coming to give his benediction. And while Hiranyakashipu was gone, the demons, who were his associates, they fled. The demigods were coming with their armies and again regained their kingdom, because Hiranyakashipu had taken over the kingdom of heaven and was ruling there. When they came, they found, pregnant Kayadu, and fortunately Narada Muni came along just at the right time, because they were planning to arrest her and wait till the child was born and kill the child that was born. So some exchange. Narada asks, why are you arresting this lady? Because she's pregnant, and within her womb is Hiranyakashipu's child, a future demon. So we're not going to harm her, but when the child is born, then we'll kill the child. Narada informed them, no, no, no. The child is not a demon. The child is a great devotee. And so you should entrust the woman to me. When the child is born, he'll be in good care. So just hearing from Narada was sufficient for them. They had that kind of capacity and trust. And so Narada instructed her in transcendental knowledge for a long period of time. She made a particular request of Narada, O great sage, could you give this benediction that my child not be born until my husband returns? And Narada gave that benediction, which must have been very uncomfortable for the poor lady. Shukadeva Goswami was in the womb of his mother for 16 years, but this is 100 celestial years. But he remained still a baby, so he was born as a baby, not a 16-year-old. And as she was receiving transcendental knowledge from Narada, the child within her womb was also very attentively listening and became so much benefited. Meanwhile, back where Hiranyakashipu was doing his austerities, Lord Brahma came. Prabhupada's words are that he was waiting for the austerities to mature, and then when that happened, he went and restored the body that had been eaten by ants, and then beautiful, strong body of Hiranyakashipu took its place instead of bones. Benediction was requested, was immortality. When that wasn't possible, then he tried some clever way of creating immortality. I can't be killed this way, won't die that way, here or there. We all know the story. And those things Brahma gave the benediction for. And so as far as Hiranyakashipu was concerned, he's now immortal. So he went back to take the kingdom back, the kingdom of heaven from the demigods. And as the child, Prahlad, was born and then gradually grew, the father, big demon father, was anxious to train up his son to be his successor. And so he entrusted his son to the spiritual masters of the demons, Shukracharya, his two sons, to train them up to be demons, put them in a special demon school. And that went on for some time. So this is just a gloss. We're going to now be touching on topics that we're going to hear in more detail as we go forward. But one day, Prahlad was invited by his son, by his father, a very affectionate, natural fatherly affection. And his father wanted to hear from Prahlad what's the best thing that he's learned in school. Natural question for a parent to ask a child. So Prahlad's reply was, I've learned from authoritative sources that someone who is engrossed in the material consciousness of I and mine and friend and enemy and is attached in household life should give up that household life and go to the forest and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hiranyakashipu didn't want to hear that. So we'll be hearing, there's four sections basically. Three times he's having dialogue with Hiranyakashipu, one time with his teachers, and like a really long section, two chapters with the students. These are the teachings of Prahlad, the teaching of pure devotion. So the first time, Hiranyakashipu speculates wrongly that another student has polluted him. And so he instructs the teachers, watch out. don't let this happen. I don't want my son to become a Vishnu Bhakta. There's some other things that happen in between, but then there's another situation where Prahlad is placed on the lap, and, you know, you teachers have been instructing you for a long time. Well, what's the best thing that you've learned? And he starts reciting the nine processes of bhakti. And then he yells at Sundanamarka, "You're polluting this boy." And they said, "No, no, 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 no. Don't accuse us falsely. We didn't teach him these things." So then Hiranyakashipu turns to his son and said, "Where'd you learn these things?" And he says some really heavy, pure devotional responses. And his father then decides to try to kill him, because not only you're devoted to the enemy, but now you're an enemy. You're not a family member, you're an enemy, and so you should be killed. So he orders that his son be killed. And he has lots of plans, and none of them work. Oops. As you see in the images here. Tossed off a cliff, trampled under elephants, put in a pit of snakes. Whoops. Whoops. Getting confused. But whatever he did, and with it, through his assistance and so forth, nothing worked. And he then, as powerful as he was, he became fearful. And because there's, he's never been stopped. He's unstoppable. He's the most powerful person in the universe. And here's this little boy that's more powerful than he is. So Shanda and Amarka pacify him, saying, "He's a little boy. He'll get over these bad ideas. We'll take care of it. We know how to train people to become asuras. Leave it to us." So he goes back to the school, and it doesn't work because Prahlad wants to be a devotee. He doesn't want to be a demon. And but he's back in the school, and one day when the school teachers went home to take care of household duties, they left the classroom, Prahlad began instructing. There's a whole chapter, Prahlad's instructions to his classmates. And they not only liked his instructions, but they became devotees too. And when they're having kirtan like this, the teachers walked in. Uh-oh. So they didn't even say anything. They just went right to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu came out, confronted Prahlad, challenged him, saying, "You've always described a supreme being other than me. A supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, who is all-pervading. Where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar?" This is Prabhupada's writing. And sure enough, he was in the pillar. Ranikashi, there's different versions, of course, but this version, Prabhupada is saying he struck the column with his fist. Usually we hear he struck it with his sword. And to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared.
What's going on here? What's going on? Something's missing.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Now, the text here says it was the form was never before seen, but I'm sure you remember, and we'll touch on it one evening. This was the sense that even the goddess of fortune had, that she had never seen this form before, was the Lord, Vishwanath says, the Lord's Lila Shakti, so that she could feel astonished, adbhuta rasa, and thus everyone was, their relationship with the Lord was enhanced and strengthened by that adbhuta rasa. Just, it's all lila anyways. The Lord emerged from the column, and this is Lord Nrisimhadev, inseparable from the life of Prahlad. And a major battle ensued, and back and forth and back and forth, and eventually Lord Nrisimhadev concluded the whole pastime by placing Hiranyakashipu over his lap and bifurcated his body with his nails in such a way that the benediction given by Lord Brahma was upheld. Nothing was violated from the words of a brahmana. And after Hiranyakashipu was killed, all the soldiers and generals and assistants of Hiranyakashipu came. The Lord exhibited many more arms and finished them all. And after he finished them all, there was an attempt by the demigods and others to pacify Lord Nrisimhadev. But there's a whole chapter, in fact, of prayers. But they were unable to subdue his anger. And so Lord Brahma specifically asks Prahlad to come forward. And that's where the prayers section, so now we're already up to chapter 9. And he goes before the Supreme Lord and very humbly bows before his feet. The Lord lifts him with his hand and then places his hand upon the head of Prahlad, and placing his hand upon the head of Prahlad, his whole body becomes ecstatic, and Brahma Gyan is filled within the heart of Prahlad, and he speaks his wonderful prayers. When the prayers were finished, Lord Nrisimhadev indicated that he wanted to give some benedictions to Prahlad. Whoops. But Prahlad saw the offering of benedictions as an obstacle, or the receiving of benedictions as an obstacle. And there's some nice exchange which we're going to hear during our session. Very beautiful. Very beautiful. This is chapter 10, 10 already. If anyone engaged in devotional service to the Lord prays for personal sense gratification, he cannot be called a pure devotee, or even a devotee. He may be called only a merchant, engaged in the business of give and take. Similarly, a master who wants to please his servant after taking service from him is also not a real master. Now, these are Prabhupada's words. This is not exactly the quotes from the Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, did not ask anything from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, he said that if the Lord wanted to give him benediction, he wanted the Lord to assure him that he would never be induced to take any benedictions for the sake of material desires. The Lord gave him benedictions anyways, not because he wanted them, but there had to be a successor to Hiranyakashipu to rule in his kingdom, and so Lord Nrisimhadeva gave him the benediction that he would rule his father's kingdom. For a long time, the end of the Manvantar, that's a long time. And he would be protected just by hearing, to show the way of pure devotional service, engage in hearing for his own protection, and teach bhakti yoga, because that's what the duty of a king is. So those were the Lord's benedictions. Prahlad accepted and made an additional request, please deliver my father from the sinful reactions. And Lord Nrisimhadeva says it's already done. Not only he's delivered, but because of your pure devotion, 21 generations before you, they're liberated. And then the request was made of Prahlad to perform the funeral ceremony for his deceased father, which he did. And amongst the many nice paintings of Prahlad and Lord Nrisimhadeva, this one is especially very sweet. In his prayer section, Prahlad indicates that he's not at all fearful of the sharp teeth and claws and the roaring of Lord Nrisimhadeva, because he knows that's intended for the demon. Demons like Hiranyakashipu. But the Lord Nrisimhadeva, is naturally affectionate to his devotee. So on the one hand, this exhibition of really, really intense emotion of anger on behalf of Lord Nrisimhadeva shows he's ready to protect his devotee, but then for the devotee, the anger isn't there, it's something else. Very kind, very sweet, very affectionate. And that's the nature of the personality of Godhead. It's also particularly the nature of Lord Nrisimhadeva. I don't know if you know anybody that's a Nrisimha Bhakta. I know some devotees that are Nrisimha Bhaktas. And I'll just, this painting is inspiring me to say this little story. One of Prabhupada's dear disciples was named Sridhar Swami. He died of a liver disease. And when he found out that he had this certain type of liver disease that the doctor said you have so many months, he prepared to give up his body. And one of the things that he did was he began worshiping Lord Nrsingadev. And he had Nrsinga deity, Nrsinga paraphernalia, Nrsinga mantras, and a very special diet. And somehow his health extended beyond the several months. And so he started up some regular service again, thinking maybe Krishna is going to give me some more time. So he had this intention of fundraising for the TOVP. And then one of the things that he did was he was staying in New York and he went to visit Epcot Center in Orlando to see maybe there's some exhibits that can be used or copied or, you know, something, an inspiration for the TOVP exhibits. So he went with his disciple, and when he came back out, He looked in the trunk and his Nrsinga deity and an altar and paraphernalia and everything was missing, stolen, and came back to New York. And he told me what happened and I said, whoever did this, they're in for it. And his response was like this. His response was, Lord Nrsingadev is very affectionate. I was shocked. I mean, he wasn't like in anxiety, nor was he angry. He just, Lord Nrsingadev is very kind. And whoever stole the deity, something good is going to happen. Or however that kindness is exhibited. So at least for the devotee, that's the feature that one experiences in a relationship with Lord Nrsingadev. Certainly Prahlad. Now the demigods were feeling afraid. The goddess of fortune was feeling afraid, but that was the secondary rasa of astonishment. Now here we have Prahlad Maharaj who's not at all astonished. He's just feeling the Lord's protection and great affection. Some images, the deity of Lord Nrsingadev and Prahlad, of course, in our center in New Vrindavan, and similarly Prahlad Nrsingha in Sridham Mayapur. And there's another Prahlad Nrsingha in Germany. I didn't show an image. One other point, and we'll finish. There is mention in Hari Bhakti Vilas about the previous life of Prahlad Maharaj. And the reference is from Brihan Nrsinga Purana. It's in reference to Prahlad during his previous life unintentionally observing Nrsinga Chaturdasi. And so in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's describing the glory and the power and the efficacy of Nrsinga Chaturdasi, great, great event. So the narration goes that Prahlad wanted to hear from Lord Nrsingadev, how did he become his devotee. And Lord Nrsingadev gave the following response. In your previous life, you did some activity of devotion for me. That was the Nrsinga Chaturdasi observance. And in your previous life, you were a brahmana by birth, but you didn't live the life of a brahmana. Instead, you became attached to a prostitute. And You became so attached to the prostitute that you didn't do any kind of spiritual activity except one. You observed Nisringa Chaturdasi. And how that happened was due to attachment to the prostitute. You became accustomed to drinking, various sinful activities, never studying the Vedas, and you spent your time at the house of the prostitute. So you didn't live a very good life. Then, something very fortunate happened. One day, you and she quarreled. Whoops. What happened? Getting confused. And yeah. So when you had the quarrel, you were upset. And when you were upset, you didn't eat. Not only you didn't eat, but you couldn't sleep at night. So you observed fasting, and the prostitute, same thing. She fasted and was up all night. And so you unintentionally, unknowingly observed Nisringa Chaturdasi. And because of that, so much pious activity in this life, you're now my devotee. This observance of Nisringa Chaturdasi is so wonderful that the demigods enjoy the prosperity in the heavenly planets as a result. Lord Brahma has the power to do what he does by this observance. Because of that strength of that observance, you've now become my devotee. The prostitute, in her next life, she became an apsara, and then in her life after that, went back to Godhead. Now, you, Prahlad, he did exactly what Lord Nrisimhadev says, preach. It's the same thing, the way the conclusion of the Bhagavatam section comes. Become the king, teach the ways of bhakti yoga, and you do that for the benefit of the whole world. And then, at the end of your life, you'll return back to me. Now, that's a different version than the Bhagavatam version. But it's quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas, so one can take it that it's another one of the yuga cycles, because it can be different yuga cycles. So the one in the Bhagavatam mentions he was sent, presumably from the spiritual world, from Vaikuntha, Prahlad, was sent to teach the way of pure devotional service. And this Hari Bhakti Vilas expression is a little different. So, two different yuga cycles, two different Prahlads, which is just fine. So these are our personalities. Prahlad and Nrisimhadev, Narada Muni, the spiritual master who gifted Prahlad with what he became. And similarly, you know, we're at the mercy of our founder Acharya, hearing all of this in a pure and transcendentally descending fashion, transmitted fashion, disciplic succession fashion. So same benefit can be there for us. That's the method of Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing these topics about the Lord's activities and the activities of his pure devotees. and particularly Prahlad Maharaj's teachings of the way of pure devotional service. The principles we can't imitate, but the principles of pure devotion that he expresses are so valuable for us. So we have time for some discussion, if there's some questions or points you'd like to bring up. Okay. Yes.
Krishna Maharaj, you mentioned that Prahlad Maharaj was fasting on Nrisimha Chaturdasi in his previous life. So how could there be a Nrisimhadev without Prahlad Maharaj, or is it kind of his eternal form in the spiritual world?
It's a different... If I understood your question correctly, it seems like it's a contradiction from what Bhagavatam says. Hmm. Yeah. So I answered that by saying there's different yuga cycles, different Lord Nrisimhadevs, different Prahlads, same essential pastime. The one is from the spiritual world, the other is this one. Okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So you said Jaya Vijaya also, they took, they expanded themselves into the material world. Right?
I said that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote a commentary.
Okay.
That's what I said.
So devotees of the Lord, by the Lord's will, can expand themselves.
Yeah. Yes. He can. Residents of Vaikuntha can. And devotees can.
Oh, okay.
Here's a nice story.
Yeah.
Giriraj Maharaj in Juhu was asking Prabhupada during a morning walk. It's recorded and you can look it up. Prabhupada, it is said that after Krishna departs this world, he goes to another universe. Mm-hmm. And performs his pastime to another universe, and then another universe, and another universe, and another universe, because it's Nitya Leela. He's always doing his pastimes. So with him, there's his devotees, like Arjuna. So mm-hmm. there's an Arjuna in this universe, an Arjuna in that universe, an Arjuna in that universe. And, mm-hmm. and Prabhupada said, yes, Arjuna can expand himself for service to Krishna, or Krishna can have him manifest expansions. It doesn't give the technology, just presents a principle.
Right.
There's other things like that that occur here and there. Expansions of the demigods came to take part in Krishna's pastimes, and then the expansions returned to their original position, merging into the body of the demigod that they were expansions of. You're familiar with that, right?
Right, yeah.
Drona and Dara, that whole thing. Nanda and Jasoda. So, the technology is unique. But yes, devotees at the will of the Supreme Lord can expand for service to him.
It's very wonderful to hear.
Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki, Prahlad Maharaj ki, Gaur Premanandi.